In honor of Flag Day, our language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg has some thoughts on our national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance and why they're so confusing.
People have been complaining for years that the Star-Spangled Banner is impossible for the merely human among us to sing. What's interesting is that you never hear complaints about what should be an even more serious deficiency of the song, which is that nobody can understand what it says. By way of example, listen closely and be prepared to answer a listening comprehension question when I finish. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming? Now then, what is the object of the verb watch? That is, what exactly was it that Francis Scott Key was watching? The broad stripes and bright stars? The flag? Listen again. This time I'll try to simplify the wording and untangle some of the syntax. Oh, say, can you see by the light of dawn what we hailed so proudly at the gleam of twilight, whose stripes and stars were streaming gallantly through the night over the ramparts we watched? That's right. What Key and his companion were watching was not the flag, but the ramparts, the fortified embankments around Fort McHenry. Oh, they saw the flag, all right, but that's not what the song says. Now, you can write the song out and check it at your leisure. The point is that if you're like most people, you've never really thought about any of this before. But then, why should you have? After all, we learned these words when we were about 7 or 8, and children of that age could scarcely understand them. Over and above the stilted syntax, how many kids know what a rampart is? For that matter, how often does an adult civilian have occasion to talk about ramparts in the normal course of daily life? But why have we picked on an anthem that's so obviously incomprehensible, and how come nobody seems to mind? It's not just that the Star-Spangled Banner is an embarrassingly bad poem, if you actually stop to think about it. The fact is that we generally prefer for our patriotic ditties and oaths to be obscure. I was struck by this a year or so ago when I was helping my French-born wife prepare for her citizenship test. Her immigration lawyer told her to prepare for 2 items that were absolutely sure to appear on the exam. She should be ready to define a pocket veto and to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. It was the second of these she had trouble with. Oh, she learned the words all right, but she recited it funny. She said, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands." I explained to her that she'd got it all wrong. Real Americans say it as if it were 4 long words. "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands." Now, you couldn't do better than this if you deliberately set out to write an oath that children would find utterly incomprehensible. I suppose that most of us wondered idly about it when we were kids. What does this word pledge allegiance mean, and who's this guy Richard Stans? It's interesting that people should get so head up about whether the words under God should be in there or not, and yet be wholly indifferent to the fact that kids can't make heads or tails of the pledge in the first place. The fact is that our pledge and our national anthem are exactly as we want them to be. We don't really want people to ponder these words too deeply, no more than we want people to reflect too deeply about their love of country. As an Italian friend of mine once remarked, America is the only country whose citizens are patriotic without being nationalistic. And when you come to think about it, most of the really good anthems do seem to belong to countries with strong nationalistic traditions. God Save the Queen, La Marseillaise, Deutschland über alles, even Dixie, I suppose. Now, those are anthems with a sort of stirring words and rousing tunes that you can sing with nationalist fervor. For example, when you want to drown somebody else's anthem out. Well, but that sort of thing isn't really for us. What we want is a song we can mutter inattentively from the bleachers.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.